once asked the question, "Is there anything worse than being blind?" "Yes," she replied, "having eyesight but no vision." Vision, of course, is that ability to see what other people aren't able to see. Vision is the ability to see beyond the challenges and struggles of each day to the possibilities of tomorrow. Therefore, let me ask each and every one of you today, how's your vision? What is your vision for life? Are you satisfied with just getting by in your daily routines, just living a status quo life? Or in contrast, do you have a desire to press on and do all that you can to grow and to stretch yourself? Are you doing everything possible to fulfill the potential that God has placed inside of you? Well, today we are continuing to remember the Bible story of the life of Moses, how he needed an exodus from his growing up in Egypt to accepting God's call to him to lead, how he accepted God's challenge to cast that vision, of an exodus and a freedom to over 1 million Israelites, how Moses became God's servant leader who boldly cast that vision of leading the exodus of his people on that 40-year journey to the promised land of Canaan. Now, a little memory or a little remembrance of exactly how God set Moses apart for his task. Now, remember how, you know, Moses' mother put him in that reed basket and hid him in the river. How the Egyptian princess adopted Moses using his own mother as his nanny. And how Moses killed an Egyptian who was abusing an Israelite and thereby was forced to flee to the land of Midian. And how through it all, God was preparing and God was protecting Moses for his calling. Yet this exodus from his background, this exodus from where he had come from, and growing up from a very limited thinking that Moses had, was not an easy process. So listen to these words as we read them together from Exodus chapter 2. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and he saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed that Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid, and he thought, "What I did must have become known." When the Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh, and he went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Wow, Moses had an ultimate exodus happen in his life. He had a lot of things that he needed to re and unlearn from his past. He had a lot of things that had made him where he was at to be the leader in the future. And then God, of course, we remember the story how God ultimately calls him in the burning bush. Remember how God calls him in that burning bush? And then Moses, of course, comes up with all kinds of excuses. He comes up with all kinds of excuses of why he can't follow God's call. He said, "Well, I can't talk very well. I don't do this very well. Why would you ever call me? I'm not a very good person, da-da-da-da-da-da." He comes up with lots of excuses, but God does not let Moses off the hook. He tells him, "Well, I'm going to send your brother Aaron with you, and he can help talk for you." And he continues to encourage Moses to be that leader. God unapologetically tells Moses, "You're going to be my tool. You're going to be my tool to rescue my people and to bring my people to that land flowing with milk and honey." The amazing way that God works, I believe, is demonstrated in this Exodus, this leader and leadership of this humble servant, Moses. How Moses went from one who was hiding away in Midian to becoming a major leader for God's people. In fact, Moses' new life and leadership example teaches, I think, each one of us here today some things about how you too, each and every one of you today, can exodus maybe from some negative thinking in your life. How you can exodus from some things and impressions that maybe you have of yourself. How you too can become a vision caster in our world today. And how you too can also be a great leader. Now, one example. Upon receiving God's call, Moses, in his humbleness, knew that simply leading by himself would not produce the results that were needed. Therefore, the first thing that Moses did was to call together the elders and the designated leaders of the Israelite people. Moses knew that if these people and their constituents weren't on board, this Exodus mission would be doomed from the start. So this is important Exodus thinking. You can't lead if no one is following. So Moses then begins by explaining the big picture. He reminds them of where they had come from, how they were slaves. He reminds them of how hard their life was at, what it was like to be in that agony and that pain that they had lived through. But then he points them, which leaders do, he points them to a vision of where God wants to take them. Moses reminds them that they are God's chosen people, that God had chosen them as a nation to be his people. He reminds them of how God will bless them as they remain faithful to him. Moses casts a vision of Exodus and freedom, what he had experienced in his own life, how God had changed and renewed his own life. He starts to show them that vision, and it was that vision that they rallied around. Martin Luther King Jr., in 1963, stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and painted a picture of a world without prejudice, a world without hatred, and a world without racism. And he proclaimed these words, which many of you know. "I have a dream," he said. "I have a dream that my children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Although Martin Luther King Jr. was cruelly assassinated, his dreams, his vision, lives on. Some 55 years later, this black leader's passion still challenges many of us in our nation today to seek to break down the barriers that are there. And there are so many barriers in our society. To break down those racial barriers that continue to be a challenge. We definitely have a long way to go in that exodus to racial equality and to racial justice. Yet it's the power of vision that has lasted, the power of the vision of this man by the name of Martin Luther King Jr. It's that power of vision that passionate leaders have that can ultimately lead to that ultimate exodus toward God's future. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says these words, "Where there is no vision, the people what? Perish." Moses lifted up God's vision, and the leaders united behind that goal. And in the same way, I believe that God calls Calvary's leaders, and I believe that God calls Calvary as a congregation to boldly move into the future with a clear vision for change and for new life, a clear vision to fulfill God's call in this place called Calvary. Now, the second thing that Moses' example teaches us is that God's visions are not embraced overnight. How leadership and vision casting are very, very hard work. Now, an example, of course, is that Moses, first of all, had to go to the Pharaoh. He had to go to the Pharaoh and proclaim God's vision. Let my people go. The Pharaoh, in turn, says a very blunt and a very direct no. No way, he says. And he says these words from Exodus 5. Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. This was a roadblock. This was a giant wall, if you will. This was a closed door. And this was something that would cause many, many leaders to give up. We can't do it. It's going to be hard. Man, oh man, he said, no, I think I'm going to run and hide or whatever it might be. It could cause many people to give up. Exoduses to new places in our lives personally, exoduses to new places in organizations or groups, whatever, can always be difficult. And relearning things from the past or saying, I can't do it, always remains a challenge. However, Moses converses with God. He prays for guidance and he prays for help. God then tells him to go back to the Pharaoh and demand that he let the Israelites go. And if he doesn't, God tells Moses to call down plagues on the people of Egypt. In other words, we need to realize God is very serious about his mission. I think as a pastor through the years, I've always thought it's interesting that sometimes in churches we kind of, well, maybe we want to do that, or maybe we should try to evangelism, or maybe we should do this. We have to realize that God is very, very serious about his mission. Throughout the Bible, his call is a very serious call to bring that mission to all people. Yet the Pharaoh is as stubborn as an ox. Moses goes to him 9 times. And 9 times, Pharaoh says, no, no way. Even with the terrible plagues, and you remember them, you know, terrible plagues like darkness and gnats. Can you imagine gnats or water turned to blood? Ugh, what would that be like? The Pharaoh sticks his obstinacy right in Moses' face. It is a leadership showdown of epic proportions. Yet then the 10th plague. The angel passes over the homes with the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, yet kills the firstborn sons in the homes without that mark of faith. It was then that the Pharaoh finally relented and allowed the children of Israel to go free. However, another amazing thing about this story and about Moses' leadership moving from his past to be the leader that God called him to be is the reality that an even bigger challenge for Moses and his leadership became the children of Israel themselves. His own people and his own nation made his life a living hell. They complained to him when the work was too hard. They became worse than children, continually whining, when are we going to get there, Moses? They often grumbled, and they became openly defiant against Moses. They even voiced their wish that they be back in slavery in Egypt again. You know, it's interesting. Some individuals then and now seem to idolize and dream about how wonderful the way things were. If only we were back in Egypt, then everything would be better. And sometimes people today say, you know, if we were only living back in the 80s, everything would be better, or whatever it might be. I was there in those times. They were not all that great. But sometimes we like to think it was so much better. And the church, if we could only be like we were in the 90s and in the church or whatever, they weren't all that great. So sometimes people idolize that. And it's an amazing thing with these Israelite people. Well, maybe it would have been better if we were back in slavery. They've been set free, but maybe it'd be better if we were back the way we were. Yet not only were the people defiant about Moses and his leadership, one of the things we realize in this Exodus story is that the people even grumbled and turned against God. They even grumbled and turned against God. And one day they went so far as that they actually worshiped a golden calf and they turned away from God altogether. It is pretty sad how people can easily lose their focus in life. It's amazing how people sometimes can feel so sorry for themselves that they might even turn away from God when things don't go the way that they want them to. And I've seen that with people sometimes where they felt that I didn't get my way, and then they've turned against God, they've turned against the church, they've turned against everything because it basically centered in what they wanted. Therefore, something major we learn from Moses is that if you are a church leader, if God is calling you to help bring about an exodus to a new vision and a change, you can expect times of criticism, times of adversity, times of opposition. If you are attempting in the world today to proclaim God's vision, if you're going to try to grow and multiply and strengthen God's church or his kingdom, you will face some intense challenges in public and in private ways, or well, as passive-aggressive ways, which sometimes can be the most hurtful. I've been to a number of conferences over the years, and a number of people have written in books, some of the major church people in the country, and they've made the comment, I remember hearing it a number of times, where they said, if you're going to be a senior pastor of a congregation that wants to grow and continue to strengthen in this world, that's the most one of the most difficult jobs in our country today. Can you imagine that? One of the most difficult jobs in the country today. And if you want to be a lay leader to help lead God's church, that too can be one of the most difficult jobs in the church today. Because it's hard to take organizations, just like Moses faced, to lead them to new possibilities, to lead them to the promised land, that vision that God has for us today. Well, Moses demonstrates the kind of leadership and leaders God calls each and every one of you to be today. For in the face of nearly insurmountable opposition from the Pharaoh and nearly insurmountable opposition at times from his own people, Moses did not give up on God's call and vision. He kept his focus always on the big picture, of the promised land that God had promised to bring the people to. And then ultimately, after 40 long years, can you imagine 40 long years, he led the people to making that vision and that goal a reality. God definitely has an amazing and faith-stretching vision, I believe, for Calvary and for our mission together, to lead more and more people to having a growing and a lifelong faith in Jesus our Savior. And the good news that we have here in this congregation is that as God has worked in this congregation in the past, as he has brought about miracle upon miracle, which has brought us to where we are today. And you just think about the people in the past in this congregation. You think of the leaders and the pastors. You think of how they had to stand up many times in some of the challenges of being a leader throughout all those generations and brought this church to where it is in today. What a miracle when we think about that. Well, the good news then is that through God's love and power, an even greater exodus to new life and greater things are always ahead, because that's God's promise to you and to me. It's all about God, and that's where the focus always needs to be. Well, God therefore calls people today, like Moses, to help lead his church. Yet in doing that, what we need to ask ourselves when we look at Moses and the changes that happened in his life, what ultimate exodus needs to happen in you and in me? What attitudes in us need to change? How does God maybe need to show us a bigger picture of what God has in store for our lives or what he has in store for our church? How do we, like Moses, need to get rid of those excuses maybe? Those excuses of why we can't speak, or why we can't lead, or how I can't be involved, or don't ask me to be involved, or don't ask me to do this or that. What do we need to deal with in our lives? And how do we need to learn, like Moses did, how to rely completely on God and rely completely on his power? Won't you, like Moses, answer God's call to be a leader and a visionary in Christ's mission? May our prayer each day be that God will keep moving us forward to the promised land of new possibilities, of amazing new possibilities in Jesus' love. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that we have examples like people like Moses who led people. We have examples like Martin Luther King Jr., people who cast visions. Help us, Lord, to see your big picture, to see the vision that you have in front of us, and help and guide people here to be the leaders that you have called us to be. We thank you, Lord, for your miracles. We thank you for what you have done in the past, and we continue to pray that you will lead us forward with boldness into your future. We pray all this, and God's people said, Amen.